Hey, podcasters, Claire, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, Sean McAuliffe back with Talking About Your Generation.
Jessica Mowboy talks about her new single, Sunday.
Oh, we've got some new guidelines for pet owners.
And are you a doomsday prepper?
Have you got the beans?
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Claire, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5.
Wish you had listened to Mum as well as you listened to a Big Breakfast catch-up. Spoil her with big-name fragrance. From Chemist Warehouse.
It is your Big Breakfast, Claire, Matt and Kimber with our friends from Chemist Warehouse. Spoil your loved ones this Mother's Day at Chemist Warehouse with big brand fragrances like Giorgio Armani, C, and Izzy Miyake for women. Chemist Warehouse, great savings this Mother's Day. The ARIA award-winning singer, songwriter, superstar, actress, and good human being, Jessica Mowboy. New single is called Sunday. Now it's Wednesday morning in Perth. It's Bring Her On, Jessica Mowboy. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, it's so refreshing to be able to hear my song on radio. I always get like completely excited and overwhelmed that I get to even write a song and write from experience and, you know, be able to hear it and share it, you know, with people that need reflecting on their life. So, yeah, it's crazy to think that I still get to do that. It's very exciting.
Jess, I got quite the shock this morning because they said this new album is about reflecting on family, the family we're born into and the family we choose. And Jess reflecting at the age of 29. 29?
Yeah.
I feel like we have known you forever.
Yeah, forever.
Have you been like forever. Cryogenically freezing yourself and coming back out? Like, how does this work?
Oh, my goodness. Look, honestly, it's been the last 2 years. I mean, and in those last 2 years, a lot has happened. Secret Daughter, Eurovision, but also writing this record was pretty much my goal and my mission to experience and write exactly what I wanted to write for the future. But also just in the moment. Like, and I'm a very in the moment person. I love to be present and I love to be authentic and real and honest when it comes to writing and making music and the sounds of projecting those emotions and sounds through instruments. So this I guess for me it's been a lot of reflecting. I am 29 years old and you know, just kind of, I just want to say what I want to say. And I feel like I haven't yet even touched, you know, the tip of that yet. And this record is really kind of infusing in those conversations that I would tend to shy away from, you know, physically, visually, and I think just being playful, tongue in cheek, and being a little bit sexy at the same time, but also being really celebrated.
Well, all bases covered. Well done.
Yeah. All of those things make me happy.
Well,
yeah.
Jess, we were just actually talking about Pink, and you know, she gets very, very deep and personal.
Pink,
she's a wonderful human being. And do you think as you're getting older, you're getting braver?
I feel like I'm getting braver.
Yeah.
And I think I've for the last 2 years, I've had this ball of fire in my gut to want to do and say,
have some
like needs and wants. Yeah. You know, I just, and you know, and being the leader. So like every time I get into the studio, I know what I want to write. Mm. I know who I want to work with. And every time I see a photo, I don't like that photo. I want this photo. So really kind of paying attention to and acknowledging and respecting my thoughts and my beliefs. Mm. And not that, and only judging myself through that process. So yeah, it's just been fun to do that and explore and not that I don't give a you know, a beep, a shit, but sorry, a beep. I wasn't quite sure if I should say it.
Oh, you got that in the beep.
but yeah, you know, it's just been really fun to do that and be acknowledged for that and, you know, have young women who say, you know, like, oh, I feel like that. You know, I wish you would say more, you know, and that, you know, that I really pay attention to and that I, you know, that is my goal. That's my mission, to be able to manifest all the things that I've experienced and be the voice of that. And I overheard you having a conversation about Pink and I really understand that. Like I feel like I'm on that same level of just appreciating that and doing it.
Yeah. Jessica Mowboy is our guest. Before we go to news, Jess, I know you're a diary person. You've got to have trust with the people around you to not open it unless you've got a really good padlock. But you find that quite therapeutic and it helps you write
your
songs?
Yes, yeah, super therapeutic. Yeah, it definitely helps with expressing all things, whether it's really painful, whether it's really, really happy, or you have the medium in between. So, yeah, it does help.
Jessica Mowboy, all the best with the new single, Sunday.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, my God. Thank you for playing the song. I really love you guys for that. Thank you.
There she is, Jess Mowboy.
Oh, always so great to chat
lovely,
to Jess.
Lovely.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Our next guest is on the telly again tonight. He's an actor, comedian, writer, and a very, very funny man. He's back on the TV, basically emceeing. He's the host of Talking About Your Generation, 7:30 p.m. on Channel 9 tonight. Sean McAuliffe.
Thank you very much. I should say that, yes, watch the show, but you can. Nine have other programs on that are before 7:30. So if you want to, when you come home from work or school, just turn the television on, switch it to Nine, and they get the ratings. It'll be good.
A company man through and through.
Yeah, feel free to binge.
Oh, Sean, look, you're the guru, so you're the man we turn to. Which generation is the most misunderstood?
Well, the most misunderstood. It depends on where you're sitting. You know, I think the there is an argument, say the baby boomers are missing, not misunderstood, I suppose, from the series now. But they are probably the ones that are misunderstood. I think the view of baby boomers is that they're sort of still hanging on with their cold, dead hand to the control. I don't know whether that is misunderstood. I think I represent that on the show. I think I ostensibly I'm the authority figure, and I'm clearly not, and I won't go. So I think it's me. I think I'm the most misunderstood.
Sean, the younger people that you have on the show, are they as violent and roaming in gangs as we're led to believe?
Well, they've not on the show. On the show, they're pretty reasonably behaved. But I think that's because of the show. And I think if youth outreach centres had more therapy in the form of our show, there'd be a lot less problems.
The skateboard parks aren't enough.
Hey, Sean, I just want to know from your perspective. Andy Lee seems like a kind of bloke I want to play cricket with, and then I just want to give him a hug. How do you feel about this man?
I wouldn't give him a hug. In fact, we had a very odd relationship. Like, I know Andy reasonably well, but when the show started and he turned up, we hugged each other. And I thought, oh, that's odd. We've not done this before. This is strange.
Right.
And then we sort of went around and thought, oh, Andy's a hugging guy. He likes hugging. So we just kept hugging whenever we met. And it was okay. I was fine to do. He's a lovely fella. And he's got a lovely, some sort of cologne that's quite appealing. So
okay.
I know him quite well. But as it turned out, we're about halfway through the season. He said, oh, I didn't realize you're a hugging guy. And I said, well, I'm not a hugging guy. I assumed you were the hugging guy. And he said, no, I thought you were the hugging guy. As it turned out, neither of us actually particularly wanted to hug each other. And we're being kind to the other person. And so no, we don't even shake hands now. We barely acknowledge each other.
I mean, is this possibly why Harvey Weinstein was so misunderstood? Similar sort of thing.
Not even a hugger.
Okay. Sorry.
I'm not sure I'd be letting him off the hook that easily.
Now, Sean, what I love about the show is that nobody is afraid to embarrass themselves. Do they bring that with them, or do you set them up?
I don't know whether I set them up, because I think I am equally open to embarrassment and humiliation. I think that's probably what we do, is that we just say, look, there are no standards, there is no dignity, come with us on this lovely journey. And so they're pretty relaxed by the time the show starts, and that's quite nice. I think creating, and you would know this yourself, you try and create a little environment where people can find the humour of any given moment, and that's kind of what we do, which is nice. Now, it ends up looking a little slipshod, the show, but I think that's kind of a nice antidote to the rather sleek lines of other very, very produced shows. This is sort of unprocessed raw vegetables versus the I'm not sure what you call it, the sort of the lovely puree of something like so Married at First Sight.
Yeah,
puree. Hey, Sean, we'll see you on the TV tonight, 7:30 on Nine and on Nine Now.
All right, today.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Across the country, there is a growing darkness, a belief that the end of days is near.
I'm preparing my family for the total destruction of the power grid.
Oh, that's all a bit full on, but NASA is doing a little bit of preparation, just a bit of practice for the end of the world.
Yeah, they're preparing for the end of the world with a doomsday rehearsal, which they kicked off yesterday. And it's just to see what would happen if the asteroids, if an asteroid hit the Earth.
Yes.
How we would all cope.
Yes.
Those of us who survived.
They're trying to make it not be the end of the world.
Yeah, but we thought, you know, this can be, a lot of people take this seriously and for good reason. And we would like to know if there was anyone in Perth who is somewhat of a doomsday prepper.
Are you prepared at your place? Let's go to Bass and Dean. G'day, Wade. Welcome, mate. Are you a doomsday prepper?
Yes.
What are you prepping for, Wade?
Oh, everything, really. Like, you don't really want to just prep for one thing.
Sure. And what sort of stuff would you do?
So I've got all food, supplies, and water and sort of stuff. I've been saving for about probably 5-6 years just to make sure I've got enough stuff.
Yep.
I've got about $1,000 worth of seeds for growing stuff, of fuel and whatnot. Got my place set up where I want to go. I've got my trip planned out for how to get there so I can stay off roads and whatnot.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you've got like a shelter somewhere. You don't have to tell us. You probably wouldn't, but you've got somewhere that you would head to.
I do have a destination. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Wade, okay. See, I take this stuff very seriously too. You know, I can be quite anti-government, and so I'm a little bit like anything can happen. So, but do you find that you can't tell people about this because people judge you?
No, I don't give a crap.
When Wade's sitting in his shelter with 5 years worth of food, stuffed a lot of you.
Couldn't care less.
Yeah. Hence the focal.
Everyone else is going to be fighting for each other.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the hardest.
Yeah, what about, you got some
food and water, no one's going to live.
You've got the essentials, Wade, but have you got some entertainment down there as well?
Well, I'm pretty entertaining myself, so
there you go. Do your own stand-up.
Good
awesome.
On you, buddy.
Thanks, Wade.
In the basement.
Let's go to Clarkson. Catherine, are you a doomsday prepper?
Well, sort of, I would say. I don't know what started it, but basically I started putting things away for years. I've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
And my family checked the account with something rotten, you know. And as soon as one of those TV shows comes on from site about the preppers, they're like, oh, yeah, here we go. Look, Mum, you're joining in the prepping. And I don't know if it's anything specific that I'm planning for.
Sure.
But, you know, I have, lots of the essential stuff. But, you know, things like your rice, your pastas, all the tin sauces, everything like that, your tomatoes. Like your wife, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, Catherine, you've only got to see the supermarket shelves a day before there's a public holiday, and all the shelves are empty because people freak out that the shops will be shut for a day.
Exactly. You know, and also things like, you know, your animal foods, the dog foods, everything like that. And then the cleaning products and, you know, your toiletries. All sorts.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that, Catherine.
Oh, toiletries.
Yeah, you've got to have your toilet roll stockpile. That could be.
Yeah.
I'd rather starve to death than not be able to have a nice, comfortable sit down.
Well, we've seen that in history, haven't we? I think it was the Rodney King riots and a few other times where people are stealing toilet paper in bulk.
The gum leaves just aren't wide enough.
No, they're not.
No.
Thanks, Catherine.
They won't do a thorough job.
And that eucalyptus really does sting.
Yeah. Sting or stink.
Sandy's in Burns Beach. Sandy, are you a bit of a doomsday prepper?
Yes. My husband and I have been prepping for probably about 10 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What sort of stuff?
We've been collecting, we've got a big stockpile of water, canned food, packet foods. We've got medical supplies like antibiotics, syringes, painkillers, bandages, all of that sort of stuff. We've also got gas masks for my husband and myself, our children and our grandchildren.
Yep.
We've got hazmat suits as well.
Yeah.
My husband's quite passionate about it all.
Hey, Sandy, you're not Sandra Bullock in that thing on Netflix, are you?
Bird Box.
No, sometimes it is a bit funny when, the grandkids are in the garage and Gramps tells them, no, you can't touch that.
And Sandy, with your things like the antibiotics, presumably they have an expiry date. Do you refresh them or they do last a long time?
They sort of have a few years on them. But, every now and again we'll go out there and sort of check things and, stockpile. But I guess with some things, my husband sort of says, oh, well, if it's out of date, it's better being out of date than not having anything.
Sure.
Always good to be prepared. Hey, thanks, Sandy. Wow. All the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Sandy of Boonsby. No, the world's not ending, NASA. We're just doing rehearsals.
Yeah.
But see, even in pretty old Perth, you still got to think about it.
Be prepared. That's what the scouts say.
They did, yeah. Doomsday Preppers. They also said Dib, Dib, Dib by Kayla. That was always weird, wasn't it?
Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Everyone loves a catchy news headline.
Yes.
How's this one? Paw and Order.
Oh, I love it.
It's about dog ownership. Bit of dog ownership.
Right.
The McGowan government have put together some guidelines to teach people about the health and welfare of their pets.
Okay.
How to look after your dogs. No, it's a 43-page draft document which tells you how to take care of your dog and sets those standards and guidelines. And they're saying some of them will carry penalties.
Okay.
If you're not doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And there's a few different things in there. Some of them totally make sense. Pets should be restrained during transport to avoid risk of injury. Because obviously if you were to suddenly break and your dog's in the front seat, guess who's going through the windscreen?
Let alone distract you as the driver.
Absolutely. Yeah. Things like, dogs shouldn't be tethered for a period exceeding 2 hours in 24 hours.
Sure.
So, don't keep your dogs tied up all the time. Those things are easy. Some of them are a bit strange. Like, avoid speed bumps while driving with your dog in the car.
Well, stop putting speed humps everywhere.
Yeah. Carry a canine first aid kit when going for a run.
That's a can of pal.
Yeah. Well, can you put it in a backpack?
And the minimum size dimensions for dog houses and kennels.
Well, makes sense, I guess.
Look, let's face it. If you've got a Dalmatian, you're not putting your Dalmatian in the size of a Jack Russell kennel, are you?
I'm not at liberty to talk about that.
Oh, you're trying to squeeze her in there?
I mean,
my lawyers told me to shut up.
RSPCA Australia is saying the guidelines haven't gone far enough. They also want to see ban on electronic collars.
Oh, yes.
Lots of people who've got bark collars and things on their dogs.
Yep.
Some of these should be kind of basic, I think, if you're a dog owner. Maybe people don't know how to take care of a pet, so this sort of document's necessary.
Well, I notice also that they're saying that, when you're training your dog, and God knows I'm trying to do that at the moment, you should stop or modify it if the dog seems to be anxious or distressed. Well, definitely distressed, but I guess any sort of training is a bit kind of anxious, isn't
Should
it?
We walk with a dog psychologist with us at all times, every time in the park, just to make sure the poor pooch is okay?
Sounding
like he's getting like
it
that.
It is, yeah.
And you're both dog owners, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not. But as a non-dog owner, I look at it and I feel like there are more families with two dogs now, and there just seems to be a new level. So this kinds of stuff, there's certain things, you would have a lot more families out there who've got dogs who are not that experienced.
If I had a bigger home, I would definitely have two dogs to keep each other company.
Yeah, it's a good thing for those who are working all day and so your dog's not home on their own.
Someone
and it can
with.
Prevent anxiety in dogs. It can stop them from becoming a bit anxious or getting that separation anxiety from their owners.
Yeah, I feel like the game's changed the last 7 or 8 years.
Oh, it has, because now we can take our dogs places. I mean, you can go to cafes. I look up what's dog friendly before I take McGruff out for the day, because I'd like to take him around with me so that he doesn't just have to hang out at home.
Yeah. As you say, a lot of it is logical, but it's also part of that having to legislate for stuff that, surely people should know that you shouldn't brand your dog with a hot iron.
Yeah, well, you should
which
know
is
what
one
should
of
work
the things
out.
That's in there.
But we still see people leaving their dogs in hot cars on hot days. You know what I mean? So some things just don't cut through. And maybe people think, even Matt, you're a smart guy, but even when you got the dog initially, you got the puppy and you went, gee, I don't remember it ever being like this. There's a lot more things to consider than what we had to consider when we had dogs when we were kids.
As the old ancient Latin saying would say, a dog is not just for Christmas.
It's for life.
It's for life.
It is for life, yeah.
It's
true. Going to get to the point where there are things like limit on the size of poo. You know what I mean? Anything longer
Could you tell Florence that, please?
Anything longer than 3 inches.
Because she has not been given that memo, I tell you.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
What's going on with that digestive tract?
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Mix 94.5, morning. It is your Big Breakfast. It's Clancy, Matt and Kimber. It's just gone 7:40 and today we're heading towards partly cloudy, 21 degrees. Right now it's around about 9 degrees, so it is a little bit cooler.
The juice.
Oh, do tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
Must be hard work being an actor in Hollywood because everyone knows your business.
Yeah.
Now, Variety magazine claimed to have the figures from the pay packets of some of the biggest stars in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And looking at someone like the wrestler turned actor Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, The Rock, yes.
The Rock. He reportedly received $20 million for his role in Fast and the Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw, which is coming out later in the year. And $20 million for that. And so they looked at some of the wages of other people. Margot Robbie came in at $9 to $10 million for Birds of Prey.
Sure. Okay.
Gal Gadot, look out, Captain Paul. I know he loves Gal Gadot, from Wonder Woman.
Indonesian dish.
$10 million she got for that role.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Cruise in Top Gun Maverick, $12 to $14
million. Yeah.
Will Smith up in the $17 million for The Bad Boys for Life. But you know who's really raking in the cash?
Who?
Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, okay.
This Netflix project, which isn't released yet, it's called Six Underground.
Right.
He got $27 million for it. Well, that's what they're saying. I mean, I'll take it on face value, but they seem to have everyone's wage there. And it's interesting because I don't know if you remember earlier this year, Michelle Williams discussed the huge pay gap between her and Mark Wahlberg.
That's right. Yeah.
For All the Money in the World.
Yes. Yeah.
Because when they had to reshoot that, the Ridley Scott film, Williams, she was paid less than $1,000 for the reshoots.
Yep.
And Mark Wahlberg got $1.5 million for the reshoots.
Sounds fair.
I mean, yeah, she was overpaid, I think.
Is it even
yeah.
worth her time? That's unbelievable.
I think he ended up donating that money somewhere.
Oh, good.
Wahlberg in the end.
Good on you, Wahlberg.
Good on
hope
you,
so.
Mark. Mark.
Now, guys, too, Pink has opened up about her life from a young age, actually. She said that she's suffered her first miscarriage at 17, which was the first of several that she's gone through in her life. And she wanted other women to know that everyone goes through it. And her song, Happy, her new song off her new album, Hurts to Be Human.
Yep.
The first line of the song, she sings, "Since I was 17, I've always hated my body and it feels like my body's hated me."
Right.
And she said, "The reason I wrote that line is because I had this miscarriage at 17. And when it happens to you, especially when you're young, you feel like your body hates you and like your body is broken and it's not doing what it's supposed to do."
Okay. Right.
And so she's had to live with that. But she said it's really important to not be ashamed of it and to know that it's okay to reveal the painful stuff and that she's always written her songs that way.
Sure.
So, you know, just reaching out to people who have gone through a similar experience.
Well, she's made some big statements, pro-women statements in the last couple of years too, Pink, especially educating her daughter.
Well, and she's got so many followers too. It's you know, it's good that they're using their power for good and not evil.
Yep.
And Madonna is splashing her own
cash. Speaking of evil.
Madonna's performing at the Billboard Music Awards tomorrow. And she's put her own money into this opening show because it's to the tune of $5 million to perform her new single, Medellin, at the Vegas ceremony. It's a 7-minute act.
Yeah.
And it's going to feature CGI and holograms. And so she was given no financial assistance from Billboard.
Right.
They said,
right.
if you want to do it, you're on your own. Yeah. But it's being described as one of the most ambitious performances ever attempted on live TV. And Madonna has spent the last few days sharing behind the scenes sort of shots and videos of her in pretty intense rehearsal.
Yes.
And one clip showed her complaining about her sore feet because she's wearing these, like, you know, high heels and this sort of risque frock.
Yep.
And she's complaining that her feet are too sore.
You want to take these shoes off, ma'am?
No, I want my feet to hurt. No, I'm enjoying it. No, don't touch them. I want my feet to hurt.
All right. Been a lot of hype around this Medellin thing over the last few months for Madonna.
Medellin is single. Colombian city,
I believe so. Yeah,
but you pronounce it much better than me.
Oh no,
it's where a lot of the drug cartels. I'm not saying that's what the song's about, but yeah.
For fans of Entourage, I know all about the movie that was made in that show. Yeah.
But seriously, if your feet hurt, take your shoes off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Honestly, you're just in rehearsals. No one would know if you were doing it in pumps.
Imagine her bank manager's feet.
Yeah,
I think Madonna can afford the $5 million for the video.
And surely she can afford some of those gel party feet things.
See, even you know about party feet. Yeah. Oh, we've revealed too many secrets about ourselves.
I'd like to see Madonna in Crocs, actually. That'd work.
That's your daily juice.
Well,
breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt, and Kimber.
For more than 2 years, Kimber. Can you give us the update on Kimbergate?
Hey, look, Rome wasn't built in a day.
No.
And this thing will still be standing when Rome isn't.
You can't hurry love, but you can hurry the gate.
You can. Dad and I have finished the gate.
Hey, it's a celebration.
I had this old rickety gate falling off my place
for
a long time. No, it was, you couldn't use it. You could. Every time you opened it, the slats fell off.
And she calls Dad Daddy-O, not old Ricky.
No, Daddy-O and I have been building this thing, but we didn't realise the undertaking before we did it. We just went, oh, we'll just build a gate. Yeah. We'll just get the wood that we want. We'll do design it the way we want.
The can-do kales.
We didn't realise how hard it was going to be. No. And, you know, don't buy a gate frame. If you see those pre-built gate frames and you think you just have to stick wood on it, don't buy them. They're not square and they're total rubbish.
Okay, a lot of work.
We had to put so much work in, but it's finished and it's absolutely beautiful. And I got to spend many, many hours working with my dad, which was the best part of it all.
Frustrated, swearing at each other.
No, cursing. We are a great team.
Yeah.
I mean, James and I, not so much when we're building stuff. I don't think my partner and I should really work on many projects together.
Okay.
But Dad and I, great little team we are.
Yeah, you've spent quite a bit of time together. Does your dad need a union representative or what?
Or a pay rise?
Yeah.
I know. I don't think we haven't negotiated pay. He never talked about it before we started building.
Pay him in cheese out of your fridge. There's not much left.
I know, I've made him some pretty average lunches over the days.
Okay, now you came into work this morning with a disturbing discovery, Kimber. What was it?
Oh my God, I found termites in the storage room. Guess what the next project will be?
Dad?
We need to build some shelves.
Yeah, and don't let the termites near the gate. Oh dear.
Oh, terrible.
It continues.
It continues. He's going to have to rebuild all the shelves that the termites have now eaten.
Call Daddy-O.
Better than Game of Thrones.
It's 6:22.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed.
Now, Pope Francis, I quite like Pope Francis.
He's a bit more contemporary than the
previous
popes.
And we like him. He's modern and he gets in there and, tries to modernise the church, which, you know, can't be easy modernising the Catholic Church.
He's taken a few big steps, hasn't he,
in
the last 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, he has. And, of course, many people get the rare opportunity, I would imagine, to have an audience with the Pope.
Yeah.
We've seen people like the Cloonies. I think Cristiano Ronaldo's had an audience with the Pope.
Yeah, Basil Zemplis.
Basil Zemplis. But recently at the Vatican, Pope Francis has met with an audience of hairdressers, hairstylists and beauticians.
Isenenane Spirito Santo, Semanane Mora Smead, Balagonine Tony and Guy, Sturuluyante. Yeah, sure, you are worth it.
So worth it.
During the audience, Pope Francis has told the hairdressers, hairstylists and beauticians to avoid succumbing to the temptation of chatter, which is easily associated with their field of work.
What? Like, no gossip rule?
No gossiping.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and he's asked them to mirror their patron saint, Martino de Porres, who lived in the 15th century, who was canonized as a saint for known for levitation, being in two places at once, bloodletting and amputations.
Far out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, amongst other things.
Yeah, the first two sounded like Nat Fife, but then it went a bit sour.
Yeah, it did. But, again, Pope Francis, hats off to him. He, in 2015, he opened a salon in the Vatican for poor people.
Oh. Right, that's cool.
Because on Monday in Italy, hairdressers are closed.
Mm.
So on Mondays, it's open at the Vatican. It's run by volunteers. And poor people can come and have their hair cut.
Oh, lovely.
Which is a beautiful gesture.
Mm.
So he's told them, look, it's great what you're doing, but be more like Martino de Porres without the amputations.
Okay, sure, yeah.
And no more chatter or any of that sort of stuff.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Aww.
It's quite beautiful. The fringe, getting your foils, your balayage undercut, haircut and blow dry. Magnificent.
Like the Godfather. It was beautiful.
Pope Francis was played by Marlon Brando.
The horror.
Wish you had listened to Mum as well as you listened to a Big Breakfast catch-up. Spoil her with Big Name Fragrances from Chemist Warehouse.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.